taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I am glad you joined me today. Should be interesting. I'm sure by now you've heard that President Trump has filed several class action lawsuits against different big tech companies. So I want to take a look at these complaints. I had several people asking me, you know, was I going to join the class action because I've been booted off of Facebook. And the first thing I wanted to do is I actually wanted to find the complaint so I could read not only what was in the complaint, but the basis for the complaint. You know, I like details matter, right? I wanted to be very specific. So I found them. It took a little bit of work. Wasn't as easy as I would hope, but I did actually find the complaints. I found three of them, one against Facebook, one against Twitter, one against YouTube. And they do have different specifics in them, but as I was reading them, the basis of the complaint or the violation that was listed was pretty much the same. They all had a couple of paragraphs that were pretty much the same. So I'm going to use the Facebook complaint as the basis. I'm going to go through the Facebook complaint, and I want to point out a couple things here that I think are very important from a constitutional point of view. Now, reading from the complaint, prior to the introduction, paragraph 3 reads, "Defendant Facebook has increasingly engaged in impermissible censorship resulting from threatened legislative action, a misguided reliance upon Section 230 of the Communications Act, and willful participation in joint activity with federal actors. Defendant Facebook's status thus rises beyond that of a private company to that of a state actor. As such, defendant is constrained by the First Amendment right to free speech in censorship decisions it makes regarding its users." See, this is what I was afraid of. This is what concerned me. This is why I didn't automatically jump onto supporting this complaint. Because right off the, you know, it's the third paragraph. Now, I'm not debating, although I could debate whether or not Facebook censorship was permissible or not. The statement is that it's impermissible. Why? Well, it says it results from threatened legislative action. Now, there's truth to that. If you remember way back several years ago, there was a young man who committed suicide live on Facebook, and because of that, Congress decided they wanted to, they pressured and they created legislation to allow, to basically get Facebook and other social media platforms to censor information on their platforms. And to a certain extent, I think this made sense. The idea was it obscene for a suicide to be broadcast live? And if that was if that could legally be defined as an obscenity, then telling, you know, Facebook and other platforms that they had a duty to, a duty to censor information, censor content that was defined as obscene. Now, that gets into a whole other question of who's responsible for the obscenity. Is it the creator of the obscenity, or is it the platform they happen to use for it? That gets into a whole big legal area. But if President Trump is correct in that basically Congress intimidated attempted to intimidate the these social media organizations by threatening legislative action, well, that's not a complaint against Facebook. That's a complaint against Congress. Does Congress have the legal authority to censor free speech? Again, the question then becomes, it's a question of legal speech or not. But understand, what Congress did was they threatened Facebook for allowing free speech on their platform. That was, you know, that's the beginning of this. Now, paragraph three goes on to say, a misguided reliance upon Section 230 of the Communications Act, Title 47 of the United States Code, Section 230. I've talked about that before. I'm going to talk about that again because that comes up a little later. And then, and it finishes with, and willful participation in joint activity with federal actors. Well, since when has working with the federal government become a crime? See, what I find interesting here is so far in the complaint, what I see are not problems with Facebook. I see here problems with Congress. Congress threatening legislative action if Facebook did not comply, did not censor content that Congress didn't want on the internet. Section 230, which again we'll talk in more detail as you go along, but the very idea that just because you participate in federal activities and joint activities with the federal government doesn't make what you do wrong. I mean, let's face it, the entire defense industry would disappear if they could be sued for simply participating in joint activities with the federal with federal actors. For that matter, pretty much every American could be sued because at some point you're involved in joint activity with federal actors. So what I see here so far in the complaint has nothing to do with Facebook, except that Facebook was following what Congress demanded of them. Now, the chapter goes on to say, defendant Facebook status thus rises beyond that of a private company to that of a state actor. I vehemently disagree. That is false. That is wrong. And that is why this suit should crumble. Now, again, I'm no fan of the censorship of Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, any of them. I believe that is a bad business model. But simply because a company works with a government does not make them a government actor. Unless the government is funding any activities that are government funded, those activities could be considered part of government action. But again, that's not Facebook, that's Congress. See, if simply the fact that you get federal money for some activity you're doing, let's say the federal government contracts with you, let's put this in mom and pop. So let's say you own a food truck and some federal agency contracts with you to provide food for events, right? They come to you and they say, hey, we're doing an event. We're going to have a couple hundred people. And here's a contract. We'll pay you X amount of dollars for you to serve food at this event. Does that suddenly make that food truck a government actor? No, it doesn't make a mistake. You're not a state actor simply because you have a contract with a state to provide a service. Now, again, if the state or the federal government is funding something you're doing. I don't mean contracting. I don't mean paying for a service. I mean, if they are quote unquote investing in a private company to develop, to develop the company, that's something different. But you see, that's not what Trump has alleged here. He's alleged that because they bowed to intimidation from Congress, that they rely on law written by Congress to protect them from suit, and because they actually participate jointly with federal actors, suddenly Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube are no longer private companies. This is a public takeover of private companies. See, if this is true, if this lawsuit comes to pass, and if this lawsuit, if a court finds that, you know what? Doing business with the federal government suddenly makes you a state actor, then we are no longer private citizens. If every time you do something with the state, suddenly you're a state actor, there's no freedom or liberty. There's no private anymore. Now, the complaint goes on and says, as such, defendant is constrained by the First Amendment right to free speech in the censorship decisions it makes regarding its users. Again, no. Now, I know this was written by lawyers. Lawyers don't study the Constitution. At least most of them appear not to. They're not taught it in law school because Facebook cannot violate the First Amendment. Why? The First Amendment, the first five words are Congress shall make no law. So the only thing here Trump has pointed out is that possibly Congress has violated the Constitution, that Congress has violated the First Amendment, but Facebook cannot. It is impossible for Facebook to violate the First Amendment or YouTube or Twitter. I know we don't want to hear that. Why? Because we don't like censorship. We don't like having our speech throttled or censored or removed. No, we may not mind it when someone else's speech is throttled, censored, removed, but we don't like it when it happens to us. But that doesn't mean that suddenly everything's a First Amendment issue. That's why I will not be signing on to this class action, because it starts with a fraud. It starts with a lie, an assumption that simply because you do business with a federal agency, suddenly you're now owned by the state. And while that may get them to the outcome they want, that is, they want to force Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube to allow President Trump back on their platforms, they're doing so with a lie. That makes that, you know, the ends don't justify the means. I'm sorry to everyone who was taught that, but the ends do not justify the means, because what this happened, if this were true, then every company that does anything with a state or federal government agency suddenly is now no longer a private business. It is the death of private property, is the death of private business. Now, going down in the complaint a bit farther, paragraph number 10, using unconstitutional authority delegated to them by Congress, defendants have also mounted an aggressive campaign of censorship against a multitude of putative class members through censorship, flagging, shadow banning, etc., resulting from legislative coercion. Well, okay, I've read Section 230. Again, look it up. You can find it. Title 47, United States Code, Section 230. It doesn't delegate any authority to anyone. All Section 230 says is you cannot be sued if you remove content for a list of reasons. Now, to me, that's a different problem. So now they're claiming that somehow Congress has delegated authority to social media because they're protecting them from lawsuits. Again, this is wrong. This is not true. This is invalid. Paragraph 13. If defendants' reliance on unconstitutional delegation of authority to regulate free speech and under pressure from Congress can effectively censor and impose a prior restraint on the protected political speech of a sitting president of the United States, then the threat of putative class members, our citizens, and the United States Constitution and form of government is imminent, severe, and irreparable. Again, what he's talking here is Congress who's acting badly. See, let me ask you this. If a bully comes up and threatens you to do something or else, and what they're asking you to do is not illegal. Now, it may be immoral, but it's not illegal. Who's at fault? The bully or the victim? Now, again, I'm no fan of the decisions most of these big tech companies are making. I believe YouTube's throttling me. I know Facebook's already kicked me off. So far, Twitter's left me alone. I think that's only because I'm a small fry. But now, rather than suing Congress, rather than punishing Congress, what do we have here? Oh, someone who is victim of the bullying, of the pressure from Congress, is now the one being sued. Paragraph 14. Plaintiff respectfully asks this court to declare that Section 230 on its face is an unconstitutional delegation of authority, that the defendant's actions directed at the plaintiff and the putative class members are a prior restraint on their First Amendment right to free speech, to order defendants to restore a Facebook account of plaintiff, as well as those deplatformed putative class members, and to prohibit defendants from exercising censorship, editorial control, or prior restraint in its many forms over the posts of President Trump and putative class members. Okay, this one got close. You know, this is what, you know, I know. Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. This one got close. So the plaintiff, Donald Trump, asked the court to declare that Section 230 is unconstitutional. Now, Section 230 is unconstitutional, but not because of what President Trump has said. He says it's a delegation of authority. Well, again, Section 230 does not delegate any authority to these companies. What it does is protect them from lawsuit. In other words, it denies people the right to petition their government for a redress of grievance. This is not a delegation of authority. This is Congress. Section 230 is unconstitutional because they have denied the American people the right to petition their government for a redress of grievance against these people. Now, why they did it, how they did it, I've talked about in other places. And if you want, let me know. I'll talk about it more. But the short answer is it's not a delegation of authority. Therefore, they've missed the mark again. And again, he talks about the defendant's actions are a prior restraint on their First Amendment right to free speech. Well, first of all, the First Amendment doesn't give you a right to free speech. It protects your right of free speech. It protects it from Congress. Congress shall make no law. But you see, there he's not suing Congress. So this is not a First Amendment issue. What this is, or I should say, it's the issue with Facebook. Facebook is not a First Amendment actor. Facebook is not a government actor. And I've heard multiple people try to claim, hey, because it's big, because it works with governments, because they tend to favor one political party, somehow suddenly they are a government actor. No, that is a lie. That is false. Facebook is a private company owned by the stockholders and no one else. Now, if the government, if Congress is intimidating this private company, then go after Congress. Go after the congressmen and women who are doing it. If Facebook has broken a contract or a license agreement, which, by the way, I believe it has in the way it's applied its community standards, well, then we should be able to take Facebook to court. And the fact that is that Section 230 is a violation of the First Amendment because Congress, again, Congress wrote that law. Congress has deprived the people of their right to petition. But if the very idea that, you know, think of it this way. When Venezuela took over, claimed ownership of the oil industry, we looked at it in shock. It was horrible. States taking over private businesses. Well, this is exactly what this lawsuit is talking about doing. This is exactly what everybody who's talking, and I've got some other articles and news features I'll talk about. Every time we try to put government in charge of people we don't like, we are talking about a government taking. This is a claim that the federal government can take over control of Facebook and Twitter and YouTube for the public good. Tell me, does Congress have enough money to buy Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter? Because that's basically what this lawsuit is claiming. So for all of those out there who've been suggesting that I join this class, I will not join this class. Not because I think what Facebook has been doing is right, but because this is worse. This cure, this lawsuit is worse than the disease. You see, I can walk away from Facebook. I've walked away from Facebook. I can walk away from Twitter. I can walk away from YouTube. There is nothing that requires, there's no one with a gun to my head saying, you must do business with them. But what happens when the federal government gets to decide what content will not be allowed on a private platform? Is that really what we want? Do we want government picking winners and losers in the role of First Amendment speech? Do we want government picking what speech will be allowed and what speech won't be allowed? Do we want government with the authority to commandeer private property because they claim it's for the public good? Is that really what we want? Now, I understand the frustration. I understand the anger. I understand the desire to do something. But if the cure is worse than the disease, is that really the direction you want to go? So no, Mr. Trump, I am not on board with this lawsuit. I think this lawsuit does more damage than it does good. And I'm, to be honest, sir, I'm disappointed. I'm not surprised, but I am disappointed. So I had hoped that maybe this lawsuit, these lawsuits, might finally get to the heart of the matter, might finally deal with the fact that it's not the problem isn't Facebook, the problem is Congress. Now, Facebook is a problem, but the legal issue is not with Facebook, it's with Congress. See, if you had gone through this and said that you respectfully asked this court to declare Section 230 on its face unconstitutional by depriving the American people of the right to petition their government for redress of grievance against the defendant, I would be all on board with it. If that's why I wanted to find the actual language before I signed on. This, sir, takes us to Venezuela. And I know that's not the direction you want to take. I think, I don't know, Mr. Trump, if this was your decision or if you've gotten some bad legal advice, but it's certainly unconstitutional legal advice, and I'm not going to join on. Now, if someone out there wants to file a class action suit that claims that Section 230 is unconstitutional because it deprives us of our right to petition the government for a redress of grievance, I'm more than happy to look at it. And again, if that's what the focus is, I may even join on to it. But I'm not going to join on to a lawsuit where the federal government is claiming ownership of businesses because somebody doesn't like what they're saying. This is the antithesis of free speech, Mr. Trump. The antithesis. You're turning around and saying, we don't like that you censored us, so we're going to take over. We're going to find an excuse to call you a government actor there and somehow a part of the federal government, somehow magically part of Congress, and put you in and take control of what is and isn't allowed on your platform. That's not free speech, sir. That, sir, is prior restraint. That, sir, is an abuse of the First Amendment. And that, sir, is why I will not join this. You come up with a better suit, then I'll look at it. But that's why, and I tell you this all the time, don't simply read the headline. The headline sounds good. Hey, Trump is suing them. It's the details that matter. And the ends don't justify the means. These means will lead to even worse ends. No, I'd much rather educate people that Facebook, Google, Twitter, YouTube are not to be trusted, that they've shown themselves to be bad actors, they've shown themselves to be biased, they've shown themselves to be propaganda, therefore, you don't trust them. And if you don't trust them, why do you fund them with your looks, with your likes, and your views? Why? That's why the details matter. Let's ignore Facebook because Facebook has shown itself to be a bad actor. Let's ignore Twitter because Twitter has shown itself to be a bad actor. How about we support the companies that are not acting poorly? Companies like Gab and well, I'd like Parler, but Parler's really gotten weird stupid on me. I can't get Parler to reactivate my account. I don't know what's going on, but since they did some software update, I can't get onto my account. So let's consider, for a change, not simply the knee-jerk reaction of, oh boy, let's go get them. Let's recognize that these lawsuits will actually do more damage than they claim to fix. They will do more damage to liberty and free speech than what Facebook and Twitter and YouTube are doing today. At least today, you can go somewhere else. what happens when government simply takes over all of these platforms because somebody in government doesn't like what they say. Now, before I head off to break, I want to remind you about Healthy Cell. Healthy Cell is a new way of dealing with vitamins. They've reinvented vitamins. Most vitamins haven't been upgraded since the 1930s. They're pills. They're hard to swallow. It's time to maybe upgrade your vitamin supplement to a pill-free process. Healthy Cell comes in travel-ready gel packs. They're easy to take. They're easy to transport. You can mix them in a drink if you like. Take a look at their focus and recall. You know, when you're reading documents like this, it can be real difficult to focus. Let's face it. It's legalese. It's not a lot of fun to read. But with the focus and recall, you can help concentrate on what you're working on. You can work through these. It helps with your not only your short-term, but your long-term brain power. And if you go to healthycell.com/outloud as an America Out Loud listener, you will get 20% off your first order. So again, check out healthycell.com/outloud. Maybe try the focus and recall or try one of their other products. But let's take a new look at how we keep ourselves healthy and how we improve what we do in our lives.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. We started the Constitution, we teach the rising generation to be free, and today, well, at least I read the Trump's lawsuit against Twitter, Facebook, and Google, and I have to say I was sorely disappointed. Not that someone was actually suing, but that the lawsuit was so frivolous that it claims that when a company gets big or does something that the government doesn't like, suddenly the government can simply declare that they're a state actor and own them, control them, regulate them, deprive them of their private property. And Trump is not only, he's the latest in a series of government actors that have been trying to take over big tech. State attorneys general from 36 states and the District of Columbia have filed an antitrust lawsuit against Google and their parent company, ABC, saying they engage in anti-competitive practices. Well, the complaint argues that, you know, Google holds an unlawful monopoly in the market on the Android app distribution store. So if you're not familiar with a smartphone, be it an Apple or an Android, you install apps from some sort of store, right? It's an application that allows you to go and find other applications. And some of them are free, some of them you pay for, but that's how you install apps on your phone. So these attorneys general say that Google is maintaining anti-competitive practices. Why? Well, by blocking competitors from accessing the store. Now, the thing that seems to be lost, and it seems to be lost on most politicians, is that the Google Play Store and Apple's App Store, they're the property of those companies. In other words, Google owns the store. Google owns the operating system that runs those phones. And, you know, that's like saying that your local Ford dealership is conducting anti-competitive practices because it refused to sell Chevy cars in their showroom. But you see, we don't think that way. All we know is, hey, I have an app. I want to put it on the Play Store, and they won't let me. Therefore, let's sue. This is not. This is a vindictive lawsuit. See, now we forget that you have no right to force someone to advertise your product. That's what the Play Store is, right? It's where you go to install applications, to advertise your application so that people can find it. The fact that Apple and Google control the smartphone market is not their fault. Well, actually, it is their fault. It means they've done a good job. It's not illegal. But you see, there are people that are unhappy with Google. Now, has Google treated app developers poorly? I'm sure they have, and I'm sure Apple has as well. But again, Google Play Store and the Apple App Store are their own stores. Google owns a store where it advertises applications, its applications. The fact that it opens it up to third parties and says, if we agree with your app, if we like your app, if we think your app is safe, well, then we'll advertise it as well. But people seem to forget that very often some of these apps aren't being displayed because they have security flaws. We go crazy when we find out that an app is collecting data in contrary to their agreement, but then we complain when Google prevents such an app from being on their app store. Now, is that the only reason? No. But again, Google is a company. It's owned by its shareholders. What we're talking about, what these attorneys general are trying to do, is they are trying to deprive Google of control of its private property because they don't like the way Google uses it. Well, that's too bad. If this is the land of the free, then Google has every right to control its own catalog. Just like every other catalog vendor in the world has the right to control what's in their own catalog. And if you're going to force Google to allow competitors to put apps in its app store, are you going to force Ford dealers to sell Chevy and Toyota and Hyundai because it's anti-competitive that they don't allow others? Now, personally, here's what I'd love to see happen. I'd love to see someone figure out a way to take these more generic phones and put a Linux-based operating system on it. Now, for those of you who don't know, I spent 30 years in IT. I love Linux. Linux is an open source operating system. It means that nobody really owns it. There's a group of people that maintain it, but it's free for anyone to use. Anyone who wants to can use it. And I'm waiting for the day that somebody comes up with a Linux-based smartphone. Because then, if you want to use, let's say you get a Linux-based smartphone. So let's say, we'll pick one. Let's say Red Hat. Red Hat's a Linux distributor. They have their own packaging of Linux. Let's say they get one to work on a phone, and they have their own package store, right? They're called packages in Red Hat. Well, let's say, they don't want to carry your favorite app. Well, they can put it on someone else's repository. See, that's the idea of being open. You can have multiple repositories. In the smartphone lingo, it would be like being able to have a phone that has both Apple, Google, and BlackBerry app stores on it. But that's only because it's an open operating system. Now, why has nobody done it? I don't know. I know a fair amount about Linux, but I'm not a Linux developer. I don't know if it can be compiled for the right architecture. I'm hoping somebody figures it out somehow. It reminds me of a quote from Thomas Jefferson. He said, "I know no safe depository of the ultimate power of society, but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power." Well, isn't the same thing true of Google? And by that way, Apple? If they are not, if they're not using their power with a discretion we believe is just, well, how do we educate them? Well, we find someone else to do the work. We find some other tool. That's freedom. That's liberty. But you see, we don't want liberty when it means we don't get what we want. So again, we have now 36 states of the District of Columbia, attorneys general, unhappy with the fact that Google controls the apps that go on their phones. Therefore, they're going to sue and effectively try to take them over. Now, again, I'm not saying that everything Google does on its phones is good. In fact, there have been accusations of some pretty nasty stuff that Google has done on their phones. There are reports coming out, I've seen several reports come out that even though you tell the phone you don't want tracking turned on, Google sends tracking data about you back to Google at night. There's been a lot of data about that. And several Android phone users, again, Android operating system, Android phones, that operating system is owned by Google. Well, they reported a few weeks ago that suddenly a COVID-19 notification system was installed on their phones. It was done so automatically, without any warning, without any consent. Now, according to Google, what happened, they neither confirmed nor denied that something was installed, but they basically said they've been working with the Massachusetts Department of Public Health to have what they call an exposure notification system as become part of the base part of the Android operating system, the phone settings. In other words, you don't need they didn't want you to have to install a separate app. They want it built into the system. You do it right from the phone's settings. Okay, they also claim that it's off by default. You actually have to go in and turn it on. But I don't trust Google because they've been caught lying about the data their phones collect and the data their phones send back, even when those settings are turned off. It's one of the reasons why I refuse to have an Android phone. Now, Apple is not perfect. They're better from what I've found, but that's what happens when you buy a cheap phone. I mean, let's face it, a lot of people get Android phones because they're relatively inexpensive. Because Google does stuff like this. They are collecting data from the phone. You know, if you don't pay for a service, you are the service. So when you use Google Search or Google Maps or Google Voice or Google Mail, you're being sold. So, you know, I can't say that Google has not done anything wrong. But again, it's a question of, do we believe in private property or not? Because if we don't believe in private property and we don't believe that the Constitution protects private property, then we don't have freedom. We don't have liberty. And that's ultimately the big question. Do you want to live free? Or do you want to have government act as the bully to give you what you want when you want it? And while we're picking on big tech, I guess Joe Biden signed an executive order with something like 70 provisions supposedly aimed at promoting competition. Again, do you trust government to do that? This order encourages the Federal Trade Commission to overhaul rules regarding personal data collection and bans on unfair competition practices online. I find this hilarious because it is the very same federal government that uses the data collected by these companies against our, you know, without, gathers it without a warrant, uses it without a warrant. And again, who defines what's an unfair competition practice? Who? Again, I just talked to you about 37 attorneys general that say they don't like how Google handles its Play Store. They claim it's unfair and they want to control it. Do you trust government to make these decisions? Because if you do, again, you're not living in the land of the free. You're living in an oligarchy where government gets to decide what is and is not allowed. Do you really want to live in a country that is controlled by Washington, D.C.? I mean, think about it. It is Washington, D.C. that put a shield in front of these big tech companies. Now Washington, D.C. says, oh, once we've made this problem, once we've denied you the right to petition, then we'll come in and we'll decide what is and is not acceptable business behavior. Is that really what you want? Do you really want the federal government telling you what is and is not acceptable business behavior? Because not only, well, think of it this way. Let's say you look at Joe Biden and say, absolutely, I want Joe Biden and his administration determining what is and is not acceptable business behavior. What happens if Trump wins again? What if you turn around and said, yes, I was more than happy when Trump did it. Now the Democratic Party is doing it. I don't like that. That's partisanship. That's not leadership. That's not freedom. That's not liberty. That's partisanship. And if you're calling for these companies to be dealt with differently based on which party is doing it, well, then you're part of the problem with the destruction of liberty in this country. Washington warned what happens with the spirit of revenge natural to party dissension. And we're seeing it here today. Now, don't get me wrong. I think many of the actions of these big tech companies are reprehensible. For example, Twitter in the past has banned information that was supposedly illegally leaked, but they did nothing to ban a story from ProPublica based on illegally linked confidential tax information. But if they're shielded by the government, then why can't the people who had their information illegally leaked, if they can't, why can't they go after the Twitter for the ProPublica story, but they can't even talk about the Hunter Biden story? See, that's why, from my standpoint, a pox on all their houses. I refuse to get my news from any of these social media sites because they're not trustworthy. They are less trustworthy than some of the other media sites. Now, I share information on them only to let people know. I put my content out there. I put links out there so that other people can see and know. And trust me, I wish there was another way. I wish I could find a way to get people's attention and point them to freedom and liberty without having to roll in the mud with Twitter and YouTube. But let's face it, that's where most of the eyeballs are. So rather than taking them over, how about we find a way to share information somewhere else than Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook? See, that's the dirty little secret. Facebook has no power over you except what you give it. Neither does Twitter, neither does YouTube. If you voluntarily submit to their censorship, that's your decision. And if you live in a bubble where that's all the information you're getting, then your ignorance is your own fault. So when a story comes out about a 13-year-old child who died after receiving his second dose of the Pfizer COVID vaccine, and Twitter locks the account of anybody who talks about it, the fact that you don't read about it is not Twitter's fault. It's yours. Because you gave Twitter control over what you're allowed to see. Same for Facebook, same for YouTube. It's why, when I'm looking for content, I'd much rather deal with Rumble than with YouTube. Can I find everything I need on Rumble? Sadly, not yet. But I'll still support someone on Rumble before I support them on YouTube. Same with Gab or any of these other social media outlets that don't censor, or at least only censor what is truly illegal or obscene. See, this is the point that we keep missing. We are looking for government to fix the problem that we have created. We voluntarily give these companies control over the information we see by going only to them. We voluntarily hand over our personal information to them, either because we share it on their platforms or because we allow them to run their apps on our phones and our computers that collect this data. So when the pioneer of the mRNA-style vaccine warns about their risks and big tech cracks down on it, the fact that you aren't getting the information is your fault. You gave big tech that power. Now, government is looking to take that power from big tech and give it to themselves. But you gave that power to them. So if you're one of those Facebook users that have been getting these warnings about, could you be becoming an extremist? Are you preventing extremism? Are you reporting on things that Facebook would call an extremist? Well, remember, you volunteered for that. All you did is look at Facebook and say, hey, it's a free app, and you never thought what the cost was. But there is no cost. It's free. It may not cost you money, but it costs you control. It costs you your data. And it costs you the freedom to look elsewhere because you've become dependent on it. The fact that Facebook, I wouldn't trust what Facebook calls an extremist ever. I'm sure Facebook considers not me an extremist. They booted me off the platform. Why? Because I teach people about the Constitution. How dare I do that? But they have power because we gave it to them. Because we looked at the shiny object and said, oh no, this will never go wrong. There couldn't possibly be a downside to it. We never thought. And now we're dealing with the consequences. And rather than recognizing that this is our fault and having us fix it, we want another bully to come in and fix this bully. Does that make sense to you? Do you really want to replace a set of tyrants in Silicon Valley with a set of tyrants in Washington, D.C.? Is that really what you want? Or will you do what the Babylon Bee did? Now, if you're not familiar with the Babylon, I like the Babylon Bee website. I don't know which is scarier, how funny their stuff is, or how often I have to double check to see if a headline is from the Babylon Bee, because their parody headlines could seem like they could be the real thing. Well, they've been using a service known as MailChimp. Now, I used MailChimp for a while, a couple years ago. It's a way of doing email marketing. You know, you send out, people sign up for mailing lists. You send them all sorts of information. They have a free startup, and then you can pay for greater services. And it's, think of it as the Facebook of email. Well, they suspended the Babylon Bee account. Babylon Bee apparently had used it. They used the version that you have to pay for. And suddenly, their account was suspended. Why? Well, according to MailChimp, they claimed the account had violated their standard terms and use of acceptable policy. Standard terms of use and acceptable use policy. Mouthful. Now, the CEO of Babylon Bee tweeted this out. MailChimp responded and apologized. And they said, oh, we went to our compliance team and we've reinstated the account. And you know what Babylon Bee said? I love what Babylon Bee said. They said, thank you, but we're moving to an email service provider that doesn't make these quote-unquote mistakes. We'd also prefer to be on a platform that doesn't censor conservatives for being hateful or misinformative. That's what we should do. See, if you see any of these companies that are censoring, that are classifying people as white supremacists or hate mongers or just any, give them labels for disagreeing, why do you do business with them? Why do you give them your business? See, if you believe Facebook is censoring, why do you keep going there? there are other options. And sure, you don't find it all in one place. It might actually take a little bit more work. Are you telling me that you being properly informed, you getting good information, is not worth a little extra work? So I like what the bee did. The bee said, fine, but you've blown it. We don't trust you. Therefore, we're not going to do business with you. Kind of the way I said to Delta Airlines, American Airlines, and United Airlines, I don't trust you. Sure, you say now you're not going to make me get a vaccine. You're just going to make me wear a mask. Well, guess what? I don't want to wear a mask either. And I don't trust you're not going to change your mind in the middle of my trip. So guess what? I'm not doing it. The true corrective to these problems is to stop giving these companies that power over your life. When you ask government to do it, all you're doing is transferring that power from a private entity that has no legitimate use of force to a government entity that does have a legitimate use of force. You're taking out of the hands of the people who cannot do anything to you and giving it to the hands of the people that can take everything from you. Does that sound like a rational way of dealing with a problem? Is that not cutting off your nose to spite your face? I know. We want to see this fixed. I'd love to have a platform that I could use where I could get in touch with thousands and millions of people. I had over 1,000 followers on Facebook when they shut down my account. That's 1,000 people I completely lost touch with. I had no way, any attempt I made to simply post back to my Facebook page and say, hey, I've been booted off, I'm still here, was denied. But again, that's their private property. Just because I use it doesn't mean it's public property. That is a lie. It's a lie perpetuated by government, by the way, but that's a lie. It's the same lie that's been used to force businesses into compliance for decades. What are we going to do? First thing I'm going to do is what I've already done. I've publicly announced, Mr. Trump, I will not join your class action because it is a cure worse than the disease. I will more than happily walk away from Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter rather than expect government to manage it for me. I will find other platforms. I set up my own platform. I set up Constitution Scholars because Facebook banned me. One of the reasons I set that up is if these companies, if any company I deal with can suddenly just evaporate all that I've done, well, then I want to be in control. So how do I set up a platform where people can communicate? I set up Constitution Scholars. Now, if you haven't been there, check it out. It's free to register. You get access to, there are community groups, and you can find other people. So you can post messages, read messages, comment, just like you would on Facebook. You can find others and set up friend links. You can message back and forth. You can share information. And the only censorship I place on it is I don't allow foul language, and I don't allow illegal activities. But if you want to find a place to talk about liberty, freedom, the Constitution, you can go there. By the way, if you sign up, you also get access to some of my books, some of my videos, some of my webinars that I've done, absolutely free, just for signing up. I've got a store there where you can pick up some books and some other merchandise. It's not Facebook. It's not nearly as big as Facebook. But it's free. What is your liberty worth? Now, there is also a mentoring program available. If you want to support, you can become a mentor, start out as an apprentice, learn more about how to study the Constitution for yourself, how to teach others. That's what that's there for. But because it's hosted on my site with all of my stuff, I own all of it. I'm working to have multiple hosting services so that if one of them decides to shut me down, I've got somewhere else to go. It's taking responsibility for my own information, for my own data, for my own education. And I'm sharing that with you, and I'm doing so absolutely free of charge. So please head over to constitutionscholars.com, register for your free account, and check it out. And if you have some suggestions, please let me know. I've considered setting up certain groups for, you know, big tech censorship or Second Amendment issues. Let me know. If there's interest, I'll look at it. But let's stop looking for others to take care of our problems for us, to educate us, to defend ourselves, to deal with bullies and tyrants on social media. Let's do it ourselves. Let's educate ourselves. Let's educate others. Let's not look to government to solve all of our problems, because as often been said, government more often is the problem. Or as I think Reagan said, what are the scariest words in the English language? Hello, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Now be sure to make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for news and all the happenings going on. We need to do our part. We need to share these stories, these articles, the podcast, the video, so we can help keep America's future secure, not just for ourselves, but for the rising generations.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.